ओम अज्ञानतिमिरंधस्य ज्ञानंजन शलाकाय चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्री गुरवे नमः.
And today we've been asked about various bona fide sampradayas. Srila Prabhupada writes in his preface to the introduction that by reading this book, a devotee will get all the information he needs to defend himself from the onslaughts of atheists. And in one letter, in various letters, he wrote to the effect that all these fans at the back are not needed. That simply by chanting and reading his books, you can get the answers to all questions. So we may wonder, how is that? Because there are so many different groups, and unless you study all their philosophies, how can you answer their questions? Actually, it's not possible to study all the different groups and all the different wrong ideas. But by understanding what is the right idea as given in Srila Prabhupada's books, and Srila Prabhupada, in his books, he points out the faults in Mayavad, Smartavad, Sahajiyaism, from which all the different wrong ideas have developed. So by studying regularly, again and again, studying Srila Prabhupada's books, we can come to understand what is the standard of knowledge, and we can understand what is it, any kind of idea which is put out, how they are deviating from the proper standard. And Srila Prabhupada, I suppose it was Bruce saying yesterday also, he said Prabhupada is a brilliant debater, because as Prabhupada said, he found out the fault in any wrong philosophy and then he would stick with it. Often people, when they're debating, they change the subject around and in this way try to confuse. But Prabhupada would stick to the point. If there's anything wrong in someone's philosophy, that's wrong. It may be right in so many ways, but if there's something wrong, then the whole thing is undermined by that. So basically all these so-called sampradayas that were being discussed yesterday, or talked about, they're all basically atheistic and envious of Krishna. They deny Krishna's supremacy, or even sometimes they may give lip service to that. But ultimately they deny the supremacy of Krishna. Even impersonalists, they may say, yes, Krishna is supreme, but we are also supreme, or we can also become Krishna. And in this way, they redefine the word supreme. What is the meaning of supreme? Supreme means above all, in all circumstances. So that's another thing Prabhupada would often, in his preaching, when people would say something, he would say, what is the definition of this word? What do you mean by supreme? What is it? You say God is supreme. What do you mean by God? You say so-and-so is God, so-and-so is an avatar. What is the meaning of this word? What is the meaning of God? You say so-and-so is God. What is the meaning of God? I often, when I ask people this, then they don't know what they'll say. Usually I say to God, they'll say, well, the supreme. And then what does that mean? And they usually can't go very... Mostly people are very shallow. These followers of these bogus sampradayas are very shallow. So supreme, then you have to say that means that by a tiny particle of his potency, he creates, maintains and destroys millions of universes. So is this person you're claiming to be God, is he really such a person? Actually, what the fact is, they don't actually have faith in the supreme person. They can't accommodate that in their brains. Otherwise, how could they claim some imitationist to be God? They don't know what it means to be God, and if they're confronted by what is the actual meaning of God, they can't accept. Another thing I often say is, it's not so easy to understand God. Just by claiming someone as God doesn't mean that he is God. It's not such an easy thing. The yogis, they go through so many austerities for so many thousands of years just to have a glimpse of the tip of the toe of the lotus feet of Govinda. And you're saying that you're sitting at home drinking tea and coffee and watching television, and simply by getting some mantra that you understand God. It's not such an easy thing. The main thing is, if we are convinced and we study Prabhupada's books, then it doesn't matter what anyone says, you can't be defeated, Arjuna. That's it. You don't have to study all their philosophies. Now, as far as these bona fide there are four bona fide sampradayas, which are present in the world today as Madhva Sampradaya, Sri Sampradaya, Ramanuja Sampradaya, Nimbarka Sampradaya, and Vallabh Sampradaya. This is, we say Vishnu Swami Sampradaya, but actually it's represented in the world today as Vallabh Sampradaya. So they're all considered bona fide sampradayas because they accept the supremacy of Vishnu, not superficially, as the Mayavadis do, but they accept Him as the supreme absolute truth, beyond whom there is nothing, and Yatova Imani Bhutani, from Him everything comes, in Him everything rests, and everything ultimately goes in at the time of destruction of the universe. They've all the acharyas of these sampradayas have written commentaries on the Vedanta Sutra which refute the Kevaladvaitavad of Shankaracharya and establish Vishnu as supreme. Therefore, they're all considered bona fide sampradayas. They're devoted. They are devoted. Now, among them, there may be differences, and we have differences with them also. Some part of the Madhva Sampradaya, they say that Lakshmi is a jiva. So that's quite a big difference to what we say. What to speak that the Sri Sampradaya don't accept Sri Sampradaya, Madhva Sampradaya, they don't accept Krishna as the original form of God. They accept Vishnu. And then they accept Krishna as an avatar. So there are some big differences. But especially this question about Vishnu being the original form, this comes up quite often. But I always tell people that our business is not to fight with you. We're not going to argue with you. If you accept Vishnu as supreme, very nice. We're going all over the world preaching this. So that Vishnu is supreme. So if you accept it, very good. Now, if we study Srimad Bhagavatam, we will find Jiva Goswami has analyzed first of all, Jiva Goswami analyzes in his Sandarbhas. The first thing he establishes is that the topmost evidence of spiritual knowledge means Vedic scriptures. And among the Vedic scriptures, Srimad Bhagavatam is the topmost evidence. So, if there are apparently contradictory statements in the Shastra, that which is stated in Bhagavatam has to be accepted above others. So Bhagavatam establishes Krishna as the original form of Godhead. Now in the Vishnu Purana and other scriptures, it appears that Vishnu is the origin of Krishna. And even in Bhagavatam, in certain verses, it appears in the very chapter, the third chapter of Bhagavatam, where the Jiva Goswami says the most important verse upon which the line upon which the whole Bhagavatam is based, Krishna's two Bhagavan Swayam. In that very chapter, it is described the incarnations of the Purusha avatar and describes Krishna as one of the incarnations, Krishna and Balaram, 20th and 21st. But then after that, it's established that Krishna is the origin of all of them. And this point is discussed in detail in the Chaitanya Charitamrita in the beginning, because the beginning of Chaitanya Charitamrita establishes the glories of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu by establishing Him as non-different from Krishna. And who is Krishna? He's the original personality of Godhead. So see how great Lord Chaitanya is. So to establish that He's the original personality of Godhead, there is analysis from the Srimad Bhagavatam, especially Lord Brahma stating that after He had stolen the calves and cowherd boys, stating that you, Krishna, are the same Narayana, who is my father. You are the origin. Because Brahma thought that my father is Narayana, almighty opulent. And here's this cowherd boy, and he's supposed to be God? He didn't accept it. But then afterwards he saw that Krishna, from him millions of Narayan forms, Vishnu forms are emanating. So then he accepted. So that's given as evidence in the... briefly he has given the summary, Jiva Goswami has given. But then he makes the point that even if you say that Vishnu is supreme and Krishna has come from him, we also accept it. We don't argue. Because Krishna, as stated in the Bhagavatam, these are incarnations of the Purusha forms. Krishna appears, he comes from the Purusha avatars when he appears in this universe. Although the Purusha avatar comes from him, he comes from Shiradaksha Vishnu. So it appears that in one sense he also comes from Vishnu. And in the ultimate sense, Vishnu also comes from him. And in any way, they're all non-different, all the different forms. But if you make, again, analysis, then Krishna is the supreme form. But if you're attached to that way of thinking, we don't argue with it. Our argument is with the non-devotees. If you want to worship Vishnu as supreme, fine. No problem. That's what I say to these people, anyway. That our argument is not with you. Now, practically, we see in Prabhupada's books, there's not much discussion of the four sampradayas. Not much. And practically, for preaching purposes, we don't really need to know that much. It's not, for most preaching, it's not actually required. Most people have no idea what the four sampradayas are. Of course, in different places, you'll find, here in Gujarat, you'll find some followers of the Vallabh Sampradaya. Most of them, the vast majority of them, have absolutely no idea what their philosophy is. Pushti Margi, that's it. What does it mean? No idea. They have some, we're worshipping in love without rules and regulations, something idea there. Like Radha love. That's also that. And they worship Bala Krishna. Ladu, generally they keep the deity Ladu. And most of them, what their philosophy is, there are some scholars in Vallabh Sampradaya, but not many. It's another of those dying species, the pious Indian, the chaste Hindu wife, and they're all soon to be extinct species, the way things are going on. You can't hear. Why is that? I was just saying that the chaste Hindu wife is a dying species. It's alright, maybe you don't want to hear it. I said that, can you hear now? Okay. I was saying that the chaste Hindu wife is a dying species. Like the panda and the whale. They're on the way. It's something of the past. In South India, you'll find Madhva Sampradayas. In a few places, you'll find some scholars. But even then, for preaching purposes, obviously, just like if you're here in Gujarat, you'll get to find out something, and it's useful to know something for preaching about Swami, Narayan, Pandurang Shastri, and all these things. But you don't need to go very deeply into that. So even in those places, there's not that much need, even if you're there, there's not that much need to go very, very deeply into their philosophy. Better to see if you want to argue, what's the use of arguing with them anyway? You're not going to defeat them. Even if you defeat them, they're not going to accept it anyway. And anyway, to speak with their scholars, you have to speak in Sanskrit, otherwise they don't. If you want to challenge them, they won't take you seriously unless you speak in Sanskrit. So it's better to come together on what we have in common, which is worship of Krishna. And those who are actually devotionally minded, they will appreciate them. You'll find some of them, they don't like us and they're against us. And anyway, such people, even if you speak to them, they're not going to listen. But there are many others who very much appreciate. So the best way to preach to those who are following bona fide sampradayas and those who are not following bona fide sampradayas is to go on with our regular preaching activities. Building these temples that gives people think there's something substantial here. Then how are people going to listen to what we say? If they have some faith that there's something good here. So by building these temples. Another thing very important in India, you sit like this, is if they see our Western devotees dancing and chanting, it makes a big impression on the Indian people's minds, even today after so many years. Going out town to town, village to village, distributed, just the fact that we're there makes an impression on people's minds, that we're active, we're doing something, we're preaching. So like you were saying in Mehsana district, and even people from there, they were following different Shastris beginning with the name P, and different Kumaris beginning with the name B, but now they're chanting Hare Krishna. Chaitanya Charitamrita states that dharma sthapan hetu sadhu vyavahar, just by the activities and behavior of devotees, proper religion is established in this world. So even without going on a full-fledged war campaign against all these people, if we go on with our activities of preaching, then gradually all success will be there. We see that these people, they have many, many followers. We may think we don't have so many followers. We shouldn't be discouraged by that. Because even if they have thousands and thousands of followers, none of them are as important. You put thousands of followers and one devotee of Krishna is much more substantial. You should also learn to sit like this. Your legs will ache a little bit, but then after some time you'll get used to it. So, because a devotee, he has substance. He's got the real thing. Otherwise you can... Yeah, you too. I went through many years of... But now, you see, you have to... This is a modern upbringing. Now you find young Indians also. They can't sit like this. They find it difficult because they sit with chairs and tables. Westernization. So they may have many followers, but what is the value of so many followers? You can easily pick up. You say, take this mantra, you become my disciple. And so many followers. I could also have thousands of disciples. Just go out and Swami Bhakti Vikas is here. Throw some fireworks in the sky and say, okay, come and get diksha. What do you have to do for diksha? Just say a mantra. That's what they do. There's no meaning to it. So you can get many followers because people think, well, you have to have a guru. Here's a guru, and he's giving initiation. If we say, well, come and take initiation, just a few small things. No tea, no coffee, no TV. Rise early in the morning. Chant Hare Krishna. No meat, no fish, no eggs, no garlic, no... What happened to all the people? They're just dust as they're all running away. All you can see is dust. They're all running for cover. Horrible. What kind of guru is this? So, they may have many followers. There's one story Prabhupada told. I believe it's from Hitopadesh. That one rabbit... One Mrs. Rabbit met Mrs. Tiger. And I suppose Mrs. Tiger wasn't very hungry at the time because she didn't eat her. So the rabbit was boasting that, you know, I give birth to children 5 times a year, and every time I have 8 or 9 children, and you only give birth once a year, and you only have one child. Tiger says, yes, but my child is a tiger and yours are rabbits. So others may have many followers, but what is the meaning of such followers, cheap followers? To get even one person to follow this, no meat, no fish, no eggs, no gambling, no intoxication, no illicit sex, no, chant Hare Krishna. That means this commitment. I mean, someone to agree to do that, someone must be having a genuine spiritual experience. Otherwise, why would they do it? If they're not getting anything, and also, you don't just get initiated on the spot. You have to wait. You have to continue doing it. It's not anyone, even they might promise, yes, I'll do it, but even then we don't give you initiation. You have to wait and see. So that means to do that, they must be getting something from it. So many times people ask me, how long have you been practicing this? And I say, now it's 23 years. Are you happy? You say, well, if I'm not happy, why should I do it? Why should I rise early in the morning? No one's coming to beat me with a stick. I might come and beat you with a stick. No one's coming to beat me with a stick. We're going on with this for so many years. If we didn't do it, if we didn't like it, why should we continue? Obviously, we're getting some. You see, it's people in the West, it's people in India crazy to go to the West. I can go and live like that. Nothing, no one's stopping me doing that. I can go and live in England, wherever. But I'm choosing to follow this. I'm follow this way of life. So why? I must be getting something from it. It's not just that I'm some idiot. Also, I can speak to you in a, sometimes they say brainwashed, but we can discuss with you. We're not foolish people. So we shouldn't be concerned. You go on preaching. You'll see so much of it. We're already seeing so much of it. 20 years ago and now, preaching in India, what a difference. Tremendous difference. It was. Now you're finding a very receptive field. It wasn't like that 20 years ago. It was very tough. The standard line, as soon as you open your mouth, then anyone would say, I'm a Hindu and I know everything. You don't tell me I'm a born Hindu. You're only a converted Hindu. That was a compliment. You're a converted Hindu. Others they wouldn't even accept. And then you try to explain to them, actually we're not Hindus, and it's just to accept you as a converted, to say you're a converted Hindu, which means you're not as good as me, because I'm a born Hindu. Even the others would say you can't be a Hindu. You have to be born a Hindu. Otherwise you can't be a Hindu. And it's very difficult to go anywhere. People who are so close minded. And even if they're appreciative, it would be like that. Oh yes, it's very nice you're practicing our religion. It's very nice. It's very nice you're following. But they didn't take our devotees very seriously, mostly. So there's been tremendous strides. I mean, the preaching field is very good now. And eventually, more and more that will come. The public awareness will awaken more and more, I'm sure of it. If we go on distributing these books, preaching, opening temples, so many things, then there'll be so many people coming, and all these fireflies, glowworms, so-called gurus, they'll just diminish because they've got nothing substantial to offer. So now you are preaching, you're getting experience in all these things, but in future you may, or even now and in future more and more, you may have to guide so many others, tell them this is how you behave in Krishna consciousness. Already those who are active in preaching, it's overwhelming. There's so many people and so many things to do and so much scope, and we can't keep up with it. There's so much scope for preaching, we can't accommodate. I mean, we know it, we could go any place and in India now and start preaching, and wherever you go, people will come forward and become them. It doesn't mean that they just immediately change, but if you preach, gradually they'll lose their misconceptions and take up the chanting. There's tremendous scope. So don't worry too much about all these. Those who are more insincere, they'll be attracted to these bogus upper sampradayas. Wrong idea. And even people who are innocent, they may be attracted by that. But if we preach and give the real thing, they can come out of that. They can change also. Krishna has his plans. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has his plans. And if we simply cooperate with that and go on, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will bless more than we can imagine. So many wonderful things can happen. And we just have to keep on going with our preaching. As regards other sampradayas, that bona fide sampradayas, practically speaking, they're also getting a little life now. They were practically dying out, but because there is such a tremendous interest in spiritual life, which wasn't there 20 years ago. It was like Hinduism was considered to be a dying religion, because the educated classes, mostly, they didn't like to say, I'm a Hindu, or He didn't like to be considered religious. It was very much out of fashion. It was socially not very acceptable to be considered religious. But times have changed. And therefore there's good scope for so many bogus preachers, and even among the bona fide sampradaya, even Gaudiya Math, they were doing nothing. Now they've come to life a bit. Because they see there's, if you go out and preach, you get some response. So, I mean, there were different groups doing different things, but it was, among the young, educated people at that time, I know I was going to the colleges, and it was difficult. It was very, the kind of response we were getting was not, the overall response was not very favorable at all. If we simply continue with this, then more and more people will come. Yeah, I was saying about the bona fide sampradayas, they don't have that much going on for them. Their method of self-realization, which they had propagated, and it's not very suitable for the modern age, with a lot of rituals, a lot of pujas, a lot of emphasis on ritual cleanliness and all these things. They're not very practical for the modern age. Harinam is practical for the modern age, the process that we give. And also, because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement is very liberal, it accepts all kinds of people. Therefore, there's not, you see, in these traditional sampradayas, it's just coming down in family lines mostly. So, it's mostly people, their family is in Vallabh Sampradaya, so they're also Vallabh Sampradaya. But the young people now, they're losing all that. Even you'll find among Hindus and Muslims like this in India, among the educated people, it doesn't make any difference to them, because neither Hindus or the Muslims are very religious. They grow up like that. And, you know, it's just they go to parties together and eat everything together. The old traditions are broken down, which in a way isn't, but in another way it opens it up for this Krishna conscious movement. That those who are pious, they will be attracted to this. And we're seeing many people from traditional Vallabh Sampradaya, Madhva Sampradaya, Ramanuja Sampradaya, they're becoming initiated in ISKCON. I don't know anyone. I've hardly met any people from Nimbarka Sampradaya. It's not very widespread. I don't know anyone from there who's initiated in ISKCON. But I know people from the other three Sampradaya, the traditional families. There are many, actually, especially from Sri Sampradaya, who were initiated. And the smarter Brahmins also, who are supposed to be Mayavadis and non-Vaishnavas, there are many of them also coming. So when you're out there in the field, it's tough, no doubt, dealing with people one-on-one. And they have so many nonsense ideas. But basically what I'm saying is, you don't have to get too much involved in their nonsense ideas. Just distribute books, and those who are more favorable, who are ready to hear, you preach to them. If we have public meeting, then there may be some challenge. So you have to be prepared to accept that. But we shouldn't become discouraged by these different useless groups. You can tell them, what is this? There's not what Krishna says. Who cares for this? They say he's an avatar. You think in Brahma Loka, Chandra Loka, they're worshipping this Baba? It's only a young Brahma, Varanendra, Rudra, Maruta, Strunvanti, Divyaya, Stavaya. This is description in Bhagavatam of Krishna, that Brahma, Shiva, young Brahma, Varuna, Indra, the Maruts, all the different demigods are worshipping. They're offering prayers to Krishna. You think they're offering to some? You take any of these bogus avatars, you think all the demigods are worshipping them? Is it really a fact? It's just some imagination, that's all. Major incidents in my life of preaching. Some question about my personal life have been. Major incidents means major incidents, minor incidents. It's going on. Just keep on. Major incidents means every day we're chanting, meet people, preaching to them, distributing books, writing books. I don't have any atomic bomb explosion incidents to relate that. I went to some place and I said chant Hare Krishna and immediately 50,000 people came forward and surrendered their lives. Actually in Bangladesh there are some pretty amazing things. It's because the people are so pious in one way, at least they're attracted to Harinam. But I never knew anything like that. Although people told me that after I left the place, that people started, so many people started chanting Hare Krishna. I guess they were grateful that I left or something, because I didn't see when I was there. But I've been told that. Often we travel so many places and you don't see the result. You're asking for major incidents, but often it takes some time. Seeds that are sown take some time to sprout. So people you preach to, they may not dramatically change overnight on the spot, but one thing, if you preach to people, be sure it has some effect. If you preach with conviction, then people, they never saw anything like that before. That here's someone has come, you know, they're not from this place, and they're preaching on the, you know, dedicated their life to this, and they're speaking Bhagavad Gita. Even if people oppose or they don't appear to take it very seriously, then people are impressed and it have its effect. So go on preaching. There may not be spectacular changes overnight, but gradually the effect will be there. As far as incidents in preaching, every devotee who goes out and preaches, there's so many interesting experiences you have. It's one thing we can say about Krishna consciousness, especially this traveling and preaching in India, even more than in the West. Even in the West, there are so many experiences, but I mean, people in the West, they complain about the boring, stereotyped life, isn't it? This 9 to 5, in your country also, that you just, life is so stereotyped, you just get up in the morning and you go to the office and you come back and it's so boring. For a preacher of Krishna consciousness, there's no question of boring. I mean, it might sometimes seem to be frustrating, it might seem to be austere, there may be so many difficulties, but boring it isn't. That's one thing you'll never find in Krishna consciousness, is boring, especially if you go out distributing books town to town, village to village. There'll be so many things. You'll meet so many people with so many funny ideas. And just the concentration and the prayer that's required to move people to take these books. It's certainly not a dull life. And even the austerities and the difficulties, at the time you might feel, oh, it's too much. I was saying to Tirthi, I think it was yesterday, that, you know, it's very nice traveling and preaching, and saying, well, it's pretty austere. But when you look back on it, actually, so you'll always find this. Devotees who go away from the Krishna conscious movement, sometimes people go away and think, yeah, it's too much, it's too austere. Why don't I just, why do I have to live in a brahmachari room with 50 other people in the room? Or there's always something crazy going on in the brahmachari. Last night, probably one of Asa Roshi's kids, locked me inside the room. So from 2:30 in the morning, I wanted to get out and pass water. This kind of thing, you know, it's just always, there's always something. But when you think, oh, it's too much, why don't I just someday let me go and I'll just live in, I'll get an apartment and live like a normal person. And I'll chant Hare Krishna. But then you meet them, they'll always say that actually the best time of my life was, yeah, that was the best. It was the best thing. So actually you have the best life. You may think, well, how is it the best life when, you know, the rice has got stones in it and the dal's got too many chilies, and anyway, they didn't save anything else, and that's all I got. You got diarrhea already. How is it the best life? Actually, it is. There's nothing to compare. So, anything else? Maybe you can all tell some of your preaching experiences. So many experiences. How you meet people, and there's so many stories. They meet people, they don't want to take a book, they refuse this, that, and then. I remember one program I went to do, making life members in London. So I went to some home, and usually you have to go very late because the people are working till 10 o'clock at night. And so we often start our program at 10 o'clock at night. So when you do this for a few nights, and we're doing this regularly, and then getting up, if you get back, take rest at 1 o'clock, get up at 4 o'clock. So what happened while this program was going on, we had a little kirtan, and spoke to him a little bit, then we showed the film. There were three of us. So we'd all fall asleep one after the other, right in the people's home when we were doing the program. So one of us would wake the other one up, and then he would fall, and then he'd wake the other one up, and it was like going on like this. And the people were very nice, and they were very, yes, we're very glad. Well, they didn't become life members. So, after all, that's like 12:30 at night, and just completely wiped out. And just to be, so, all right, what to do? We walked out the door, and then their relative came in and said, "Oh, you're from the Hare Krishna." He's right. So he spoke to them a few minutes, and he said, "Okay, what is that program? You have life membership?" And so we were there for another half an hour, and we signed it up and made it a life membership. And then he told the other people that you also have to become life members. And then later on, they didn't on the spot. They said, "Well, we don't have any money now," and they were still protesting. But then later on, they came back. So you never know what's going to happen. There are so many experiences like that where you preach to some. Was that when I read that story in the Sankirtan newsletter? Someone came to someone's door in Russia in their apartment. Said, no, I don't want any books. I used to have so many books and I threw them all out. They're all useless. I said, well, don't you want to look at them? No, I don't. I said, I only have one book left now. He said, well, what's that book? It must be some. If you only have one book and you throw all the others out, it must be some pretty good book. So he went in, there's all big bookshelves, all empty. There's only one book. Easy Journey to Other Planets by His Divine Grace. He said, well, actually, all these books are by the same. Oh, really? Okay, give them all. After reading that book, the person realized that all the other books were useless. So there are so many stories like that. You must be having so many stories like that. Why don't you tell us? You can all come and tell us your stories. Let's have some transcendental entertainment.